We're winning the league.
Hello, welcome back to TCS Sport. My name's Ben. I'm joined by Brexit Steve. How you doing?
Did you just stub your toe on the table there?
Oh, I'm just saying that we're winning the league, innit? As Arsenal fans, as Arsenal, we are winning the league. Am I not allowed to say that?
We're not winning the league. Get back down to earth.
Yeah, I know, I'm only joking. But still. Anyway, so we are here for Match Week 5 review, the first midweek round of Premier League fixtures. It was a weird one to see a midweek round in August, but that's World Cup dictated. And Match Week 6 preview. But before we get into it, because as we were discussing off recording, for the introduction, sometimes I never really know what to say. I try and plan out some banter or something and it just doesn't come off.
You can't black pat.
No, banter has to be natural.
You can't plan banter.
Exactly. It has to be natural and humorous, like your Eric Cantona quote, which I still go back and listen to that clip sometimes. It's quality.
When's this you go?
I just didn't expect it at all. That is the best podcast we've done so far, I can't lie.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Which one was that? I can't remember which one it was now.
It was probably the review of the first match week, because I remember you messaging me before we did that and you saying, I can't wait to record this week. And I was feeling exactly the same.
Okay. It's like,
first Premier League's back, in a good mood, yeah. Arsenal had won, United had lost, etc., etc. But so going back to what I was saying, new segment for the introduction, I'm just going to ask you a random question. Usually it'll be mostly based on Premier League past.
Football related,
I should have specified that. I'm not going to say who's going to win the Conservative leadership race.
Okay, if you're about to say, what does this rash look like? I don't want to know. You need to see a doctor for that.
So yeah, it'll be football related. Depending on the podcast, it might be, say if we're doing a Champions League podcast, it'll be Champions League themed. But for this one, as an Arsenal fan, Premier League, who is the worst Arsenal player you've seen in your lifetime?
Santos.
Andre Santos. That's a good shout. He didn't come into my head. Personally, I'd go with Squillaci because we've spoken about him before. But up there with him is Jovinho, even though Jovinho scored a few goals. But no thought at all?
No, Santos.
Anyone but Santos?
Santos. I still remember the game at Old Trafford where he left the ball. There was times he was just leaving. There was one time he was so casual about the ball and he just left it and let the attacker run past him and it literally just trickled out. And then swapping his shirt with Van Persie at half time.
Yeah, that was disgusting.
The worst player I've seen in an Arsenal shirt. And we've had some bad players in Arsenal shirts.
He looked overweight as well, didn't he, when he was playing for us, really? He was okay going forwards. I mean, he scored at Stamford Bridge, but...
Rubbish. I don't care. Was that the 5-3? No,
that was the 5-3,
yeah. I don't care. He's rubbish.
Yeah, he's definitely...
Embarrassing. We went from Ashley Cole to Santos.
Well, I know your thoughts on Clichy.
Via Gael Clichy.
Yeah. Santos made Clichy look like Ashley Cole.
Yeah.
Which sums it all up. So, yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah.
So yours is Jovinho or Scalacci?
No, mine's Scalacci. But Jovinho's got to be up there, even though Jovinho...
He needed to go to Bakari Sagna's hairstylist, didn't he?
I thought Rob Holden. Get that hairline back. Yeah. Talking of Arsenal, though, should we go straight into the review of the Arsenal-Villa game?
Yeah, go on then.
What were your thoughts of it?
I thought they could have won by more than the one
goal.
I was following it on Twitter, and the accounts sort of going, Arsenal should have been 2-3-0 up in the first half.
The amount of chances that we had that we weren't clinical enough.
Do you know what it reminds me of, actually? I don't know if I wrote this down or not. It reminds me of Arsenal from the early 2000s, when sometimes Grandad Fred would take us up. Obviously, you were too young. And afterwards, Grandad would say, we'd win the game 2-1, maybe 3-1 or 2-0. And he'd say, God, the amount of chances you had. Won't get away with it against better teams. Yeah. And that's what I worry about when it comes to Liverpool, City.
Even Sunday against United. United were
a bit more defensive.
Yeah, we have to be more clinical.
But it's nice to be talking about an Arsenal team, comparing them to a team from 20 years ago when Arsenal were good.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of scraping a win and feeling like...
But, I mean, you say scraping it...
No, instead of scraping, we didn't scape that win against Villa.
It was a great response again, wasn't it? They scored and it was like, oh, we need to...
It was almost the arrogance. I was there and it was like the arrogance of, all right, we've conceded. Oh, we'll just get the ball and go and score again. And it was...
But the goal we conceded, though, I mean, Mendy gets a free kick for what
Harvey Barnes did.
The guy's clearly got two arms around Ramsdale and is impeding him.
Yeah, but I didn't think it was a foul.
If you're giving Mendy,
there's consistency, but I didn't think either of the fouls. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe I'm seeing it through rose tinted glasses, but I personally thought it was a foul because he's holding on to him.
Yeah,
from in front, and he's trying to impede him. if Rambo pushes him out of the way, he concedes a penalty. What's he supposed to do?
But either way, it's that near post area. I don't understand why Tomiyasu, who was there, could have dropped back and just headed it away. We had a corner directly before that. Douglas Luiz just come onto the pitch. He took the first corner. Xhaka cleared it at the near post because it was a poor corner. Nobody did the job the second time around. So I don't understand what was going on there. But yeah. Villa were awful though. Villa were dreadful. I know on Match of the Day, the only chance they showed was the one directly before the corner, which I don't even think Ramsdale touched for the corner. But besides that, they genuinely had nothing.
Oh, really?
Well, no, because
you were
plan.
There, weren't you?
Yeah,
what was the atmosphere like?
The atmosphere was really good. Just buoyant. Even when we could see it again.
Dad, wasn't it?
Dad, yeah. Dad and my mate. Even when...
all friend.
Yeah.
All football friend.
Yeah, no, Villa were dreadful. The only tactic was pump it long to Watkins.
It was a little bit of Gerard roulette as well, because he made five changes, bringing back Mings, who then dropped out.
Like, he was ill at the weekend,
was he?
To be okay, fair. Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
But it still didn't start Ings. It started Bailey.
Have you seen those signs today?
Awful. Villa, they've signed Bednarek on loan, the centre-half, and Dendonka from Wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't... He's signed quite a few players. I don't get what's going on with him.
Thing is, they did their business early. And
is he in trouble,
all of a sudden,
do you think?
Oh, yeah. He's the next manager to be sacked.
Do you think so?
He's definitely, yeah. Because they're going to lose
against Brendan
City.
Rodgers?
Well, it's interesting because tonight he's just come out and said, like Scott Parker did after they got punked by Liverpool, Brendan Rodgers came out and criticised the club's transfer policy. So it doesn't look good in that respect as well. So
he might be going as well.
Yeah.
I thought the Scott Parker second was ridiculous, regardless of whether he criticised the transfer policy. But there you go. We're talking about Arsenal Villa. What about the foul on Saka?
Oh, in the first half, Mings. I actually thought he was lucky to get away with that because he had both hands on him and he was just completely chucked into the floor. Yeah.
It'd be a foul outside the box, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But I can't understand. You said you watched Match of the Day.
Yeah, I watched Match
of the
Day.
You see, Danny, I played for Spurs Murphy.
Yeah.
Oh, not a penalty. He's gone down a bit easy there. Yeah. He's pretty much lifted him up and thrown him to the floor.
Yeah, well, he'd been going on before that as well because the run. Well, the
but it also been the other defender pulled his shirt as he got into the box, which is a foul in its own.
He played really well though, Saka, because every time it was nice to see. Almost like the Saka from last season, because we've been critical of him before, but every time he got the ball, he ran at Digne. And Digne, I don't think, tackled him once. Saka had the measure of him all game.
Digne was in trouble, was he?
Yeah, he should have scored though, Saka.
I like Jesus' strength. He showed he was strong in the first half.
He bodied Mings again.
Yeah.
There's other defenders as well.
Martinez
is still playing for Arsenal. He's, to me, mistakes for both of our goals.
Oh yeah, especially the second one.
Yeah.
That was weak, wasn't it?
Yeah, weak pass. He made some good saves throughout the game, don't get me wrong. Martinelli volley, which would have been goal of the season, mate.
What?
That was unreal, that.
That was amazing.
Unreal, yeah.
And Jesus, he palmed the ball back to Jesus for the tapping, didn't he?
It was a proper push it in front of him.
The only thing, from Arsenal's point of view, I thought Sammy Lukonga stepped up as well.
Yeah, because I was a bit worried seeing him on the team sheet. He was man of the match for me. He was best player on the pitch.
Really?
Because before he's given the ball away a fair bit. But I mean, he had so much time, don't get me wrong. Villa made it easy for him, but he didn't give the ball away once last night.
Let's hope that gives him a bit of confidence then, and hope it's not just because Villa are just abysmal.
Yeah. Well, do you think we should have signed a holding midfielder with the injuries to Partey and Elneny?
It depends how bad. Because I wasn't that. I know I said Elneny deserves his contract, which he did. But he just looks a little bit slower and off the pace than everyone else, even in that Fulham game.
Yeah,
looks like he needs to take an extra couple of seconds to get the ball out of his feet.
But it was tidy in possession.
Yeah,
but I know what you mean.
And he always works hard.
Yeah, he might have been carrying that hamstring injury though. For that
game. I mean, maybe if Elneny was going to be out for a longer time, then maybe we should. But it's not looking likely, is it?
Well, no, he's got to see a specialist. Could be out for quite a while.
Okay,
quite a significant hamstring injury, supposedly.
They'll have to drop Granit Xhaka back there.
Oh, dear God, no. Then that would be us not even finishing the top four. To
get
honest.
Booked.
Yeah. So talking about managers, you talk about Gerrard, do you not think he's the next to be sacked then? You're saying Rodgers. We might as well come on to the Leicester Man United game.
It depends, doesn't it? Because they've invested all this money over the summer. You'd need to, for me, you'd need to give until Christmas.
I know there's Dean Smith till Christmas though.
I know there's some, but apparently this is the guy they wanted. I know there's some sections of the fan base already calling for him out, but he's had four or five games now.
Yeah, but the thing is, I can understand sticking by a manager if there was a clear plan.
Yeah.
Watching them last night.
They just look flat, didn't they?
But he's even playing. So they tried to play it short, they play it to Mings. Mings will pass to Konsa will pass back to Martinez, and he just pumped it long. Martinez just pumped it long in the first place. Like, there was no.
Do you think the players aren't playing for him?
It wouldn't surprise me. The amount of time and space they gave at Arsenal last night.
I mean,
as well.
did you see his post match? he turned around and said, it's the same thing as the defending, it's the same things we've been repeating over and over again to them. Well, I guess I'm going to keep repeating it.
So, I didn't see that. That wasn't...
Yeah.
I saw his pre-match press conference in which he was saying, Arsenal gave Arteta time. It shows what giving a manager time can do, which
Who
is...
Who said that, sorry?
Steven Gerrard. Oh. So he was basically pleading to the board, give me a bit of time, please. I need to stay.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe. You just don't know, do you? I mean, they don't... They've spent money, but... This is now supposed to be his squad, or partly his squad.
To me, they have a good team as well. Yeah. They have a good squad, but he's not getting a tune out of any of them.
No, then that does make you wonder if behind the scenes there's a bit of player power going on.
Yeah, so for me, he's got... So City's a write-off. Mm. If they don't pick up points against Leicester, Southampton, he's gone after that.
Yeah. Big time. So what has he got? City at home, Leicester away, and it depends to see what they do at Brighton.
Well, regardless, because they're all going to be down.
Southampton at home, so he needs to at least get minimum of a draw away at Leicester, and then got to beat Southampton, who at the start of the season, Shearer said they're going to struggle, sitting in the top half of the table. I know it's still early days for the table, but I think they've done about 8 points on.
Well, do you want to come on to them because they were good against Chelsea?
Should we just do Leicester?
That's fine.
Whereas Man United, there's not too much to talk about.
No, but talking about Rodgers, do you think he's got long left?
Depends. If he's turned around and said. He doesn't like the transfer policy. I know there was rumours in January of a falling out, wasn't there?
Yeah.
You'd be silly if he was Leicester to get rid of him, though. But then if he was to walk, that's a different topic, isn't it? Yeah. Although I did see the goal, Sancho's goal. I don't know what the defender was about.
Well, it started from the... It was two passes for United, or three passes. From Ward's kick, Thomas... To the United right back had time to bring the ball down. Thomas has either got to make a decision to press the ball so he can't then play it over his head or drop into the space that Fernandes picked up. Didn't either. One pass to Fernandes, one pass to Rashford, one pass to Sancho. It was so easy. Mm. But that to me summed up the whole game. It was so easy for United. They were so comfortable.
Well, let's hope Arsenal can make it uncomfortable for them on Sunday. But what United crisis? That's 3 wins on the spin now.
Yeah, and 2 away wins. I know they're grinding out results. They look so much more solid defensively.
1-0 to the Arsenal. Yeah. Maguire, is he ever going to get back in the team?
He's League Cup or Europa League.
Yeah. If they look at sixes and sevens, he will never get back in.
No, exactly.
£80 million on the bench. Leicester are in trouble.
Well, because...
I know you're going to do the transfer window on a different pod. But they have had a shoddy transfer window. Fofana's now gone. Bought in a £15 million replacement. The keeper.
I think Schmeichel, talking about the keeper, is something I wanted to bring up. I think, arguably, that's the biggest mistake of the whole window. Because I don't mind Danny Ward, but he's not a Kasper Schmeichel. Well, there is just no presence.
It's whether they had any choice in it. If he wanted to leave, what can you do?
It would surprise me if he wanted to leave, but I guess he must have if he didn't.
Yeah, because there must be something there.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're saying that they're in trouble as well.
They will be in trouble. They need to pick up points, but they're in trouble at the moment because they haven't been able to pick up points. Look, but then they've got Villa at home soon.
But we've said before in previous games that we've been quite complimentary of Leicester, even though they haven't picked up points. Yeah. They look good. Tonight, they did not look good. Mm. They created nothing besides a couple of Madison free kicks.
I mean, it's Man United, though, isn't it? Who have won their last two now.
Credit defensively because of the... But it's just the basics of... There was no intensity, there was no creativity. They had a little bit at the start of the second half, but it really wasn't much at all.
And that's what I mean. Maybe they are in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah. Like we said before, though, like once the transfer window shuts and the squad's settled, but basing it on that performance tonight, you're only as good as your last game. I quite fear for them, to be honest. Moving on. City Forest. Do that one next.
Yeah, do City Forest. Why not?
Pep roulette, man. Talk about Steven Gerrard playing roulette. He left out De Bruyne and decides to bring him on 20 minutes ago. I captained him this week. Captained. If he stayed on the bench, I would have got double points for my vice-captain, which was Jesus. But he brought De Bruyne on. He got 1 point, which meant I got 2 points. He proper messed... My fantasy's done, basically, is what I'm saying. I'm just going on a rant. My fantasy league is done at the end of August.
Mate, oh, dear.
I won it 2 consecutive seasons in a row and I'm like 80 points behind already. I'm done. Finished. Finito.
Unfortunately, because we don't have video cameras, you can't actually see Ben's salty tears at the moment. he's doing a proper troop to an Arsenal fan TV. You can't treat me like this, man. You can't do this. me, on the other hand, I actually captained Haaland.
And you put in Alvarez and Bernardo. I know you had Alvarez from the beginning. I think you had him on the bench.
But yeah, no, I put him in and took out Trippier, which is good because Trippier got no points. And Alvarez I put in there and I made my one allowed... transfer, and I took out Grealish for Bernardo. It was points, points, points for me.
You're second in the league now. You're not far behind.
That's the first time I've got that many points in the last time.
Talking of Alvarez, he took his goal as well, especially the second. Yeah. It always looks good when it comes off the woodwork.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was a bit of almost a half volley, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He looked good. It'd be interesting to see if they play him up together more often then, because I know he played out wider and he's normally the backup striker for Haaland.
Yeah.
But when Mahrez, I mean, did you see the chance Mahrez missed as well?
Yeah, he was one on one, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Stuck it wide.
Back on the bench next game.
Yeah. Which just gives them options, like we were saying, that they can vary it up and rotate it. Or he can play it instead of Haaland, because I think they might even do that.
But I think it was
Haaland arrest.
It was either 1-0.
It was one, if you're talking about Forrest Chance.
Yeah, Lord, or whatever his name is. The left back they've just signed from Atletico.
Oh, Lodi. Yeah.
Because I wrote down Lordy.
Yeah.
Oh, but he made quite a few changes, and I'm wondering if he's resting what he thinks is his better team. Like Lingard didn't play, and I'm wondering if he's resting those for winnable games.
Yeah.
If he just thought, look, we're not going to win this one. Here you go out and prove something to me, Lordy. You can have your first start and try and get a shot on target.
He'll be working on heading this week, won't he? But they were just a bit naive.
Cross goal.
Yeah, they were. The thing is, even before that, because they had a great counter attack, but the pass was, they played it too wide.
Yeah.
If the pass had been better, the guy would have been thrown goal as well. But yeah, they're just a bit naive as well for us, because I know Henderson gave the ball away for Haaland's second goal.
And we said it won't touch too much on him, but he's just a monster, isn't he?
It's just same rinse and repeat.
Have you seen that video I sent you through Twitter where they're doing their pre-season predictions? Obviously a far more
Rory Jennings. Yeah, oh, Rory Jennings. He's on the kickoff, because I watched the kickoff.
Oh, I don't know who he is, but that is the everyone's entitled to their opinion, but that is
Haaland's
an awful take.
Flop. The thing is, even after the first couple of weeks when he scored a few goals, he's like, Haaland still had a good start, but he's still gonna flop. Yeah. He scored, because Rory Jennings is a Chelsea fan. I know he slated Lukaku, but Haaland has scored more goals in 5 games than Lukaku did last season in about 28 or 29. Like, it's mental. It's ridiculous.
Well, I keep hearing on like the transfer window show about, oh, Tuchel wants an out-and-out striker. He needs an out-and-out striker. He's not had one. What's Lukaku then? The centre-half?
Yeah.
I don't get it. But yeah, Man City, just another day at the office. They finally kept a clean sheet, didn't give a 2-0 lead to someone.
No.
Edison will be happy with that. although I don't think he had to really do anything, so he'll be happy as well.
Yeah. Before we move on, though, I just want to shout out that Forest fan on Twitter, because there was a second Forest fan who said, "We don't get beaten by 4 or 5, we're not Bournemouth." Yeah, but City is City, and City can do anyone 6-0, so...
Is that a recent one, is it?
That was a recent one, yeah. Because you know we had the one before, I've come into the Newcastle game. We won't get done 3-0. It was 2-0. You almost got done 3-0. Yeah. So,
yeah. Oh, so someone actually said won't get beaten 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Specifically, they got beaten
by 6. In fairness, you were right. It was
6. Yeah, that's what I commented back to you. I said exactly that. Technically, we're all right. Moving on, Liverpool-Newcastle.
Yeah, that was a pretty good game. Honestly,
it was a really
sharp.
Good game. Hey, he's finished. You can tell when a striker is, I wouldn't want to say top, but decent by the finish. And that first finish was cold.
And there's a difference between, like I say, he's not, at the moment, we don't know if he's top, but there's a difference between really decent and Neil Maupay, who I've said is okay.
Yeah. about Chris Wood? Chris Wood in that position would be like, I don't know what to do.
Chris Wood would never be in that position. I mean, and the one he finished offside, you see him send someone for a hot dog.
Yeah.
I don't know, I can't remember which defender.
That's
it was.
Another VAR decision, though, because it was by
awful.
His shoulder again.
Awful.
Shoulder. It's like, come on, man, play the advantage
then,
to the forward.
And then what was with the. It was 95 minutes and it went to 98. Is that because of time wasting or something?
I was going to ask you exactly that. Like, what do you make of that decision to play 3 more minutes than what was meant to be added on, but it was exactly because of time wasting.
If Newcastle were time wasting, then they're the creators of their own downfall.
Yeah.
But Salah got an assist for touching that ball to
Caballero. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
He got 2 assists, and the second one was the little chest.
How he got an assist for that, honestly. They need to review their rules. Another game without a goal for him, though.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
And Liverpool still, other than obviously Bournemouth, they've conceded, haven't they, every match, I think.
Well,
which is a bit unlike them. They don't look
conceded
solid
first
defense,
again, because I know they put that to bed against Bournemouth, but they conceded first again, which is like they've gone on a run of 8 games before Bournemouth or something like that, are conceding first.
And Newcastle can count themselves unlucky. Had that second goal counted,
2-0, and that would have been coming back.
So,
do you think they'll still finish second this season, Liverpool?
Ooh, that's a good one. Maybe.
bit early to say.
Yeah, it's still a bit early. I'd say, ask me that question again around Christmas and I'll give you the definitive answer. Actually, how many games do we miss because of the World Cup?
I don't know, but it's quite condensed up until November 12th and then we're on the World Cup break. Okay. We'll see.
Ask me that question middle of January then.
Well, originally I was going to ask, do you think Liverpool can compete with City this season? But we've said before, nobody's competing with City. No. So,
yeah. No, not in league. Unless he changes his priorities and he goes for the Champions League, or they get, which I don't think he should.
I think they can challenge for both unless they start to get big injuries. If they get injuries in the cup, certain positions, namely
Haaland. I think he needs to sack off the League Cup.
I think he will this season.
Probably sack off the FA Cup. As much as I don't like
disrespecting the FA Cup.
Disrespecting that or discrediting it, whatever you want to call it. But it's funny, isn't it? Because it just goes to show how bad Bournemouth were, because Liverpool still look a little bit laboured. And now Klopp's been saying what we've said for the last couple of podcasts. Harvey Elliott has been their best player for the last three or four
games. Well, it's the young lads doing it again, because Carvalho popped up with a goal, but Harvey Elliott was...
He absolutely levered that one in, didn't he?
Yeah, he made sure it went. Pope was just there it's gone past me.
he hit that ball so hard that after it hit the back of the net, the force of it dragged Nick Pope down.
Did you see him? I don't know how he just back. It was quite funny.
Other than that, it was from what the highlights, it looked like a good game.
It looked
didn't look all Liverpool either.
They looked a threat, Newcastle.
And fair play to Newcastle. That's their first loss of the season now. But before the start, you'd have said, Liverpool will probably get beat there.
Yeah. And you can respect...
What a signing. I think Isaac could prove to be a really good signing.
It's only one game, but like we've said, that when the striker gets in that position and finishes it the way that he did...
It wasn't like it was fluked, was it?
No, it was a proper... I've seen where Alisson is. I'm just going to lift it over him. It was mustard.
I wonder if... who's in line for the Golden Glove? Is it Rambo at the moment?
Oh, we've conceded quite a few goals. Yeah, I don't actually know. It could be De Gea after they've won through and a bounce. Three clean sheets as well?
No, 2-1 Liverpool, 1-0.
Of course, 2-1 Liverpool, 1-0. Sorry, yeah. So only two. So. But it's not Alisson, it's not Edison.
I wonder if it's the Brighton lad.
Sanchez?
No.
I think there could be quite a few on two, to be honest, yeah.
Definitely not Edison, though.
I think besides... No, and need not Alisson, because he's only got one, hasn't he? Because they've conceded in every game bar Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is mad. Madness. Moving on, who do you want to do next?
Won't take long. Let's do Bournemouth Wolves.
Yeah, well, I didn't really want to talk too much about the game. You've already mentioned the sacking of Scott Parker. I know your response, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Were Bournemouth right to sack Scott Parker?
No. Simon Jordan would disagree, because he disrespected the board and he said stuff that they've said behind closed doors and et cetera, et cetera. But when you take a championship team to Liverpool and you're getting beat 9-0 and you're saying we need to spend a bit of money and get in some decent players, it's not really much of an ask. Otherwise, he's the one that's going to be brunting it from the fans for the rest of the season. So I don't blame him. But what I do blame him for is that awful cardigan that costs £1,400.
Is that actually how much it costs?
Yeah, well, £13,950, I think it
that's
was.
That's mental.
One in the post. I'll tell you what, that's the one thing I liked about Gary O'Neill. No expensive cardigan.
No,
for
just
that man.
A polo shirt which looked like a Bournemouth badge stuck on. Yeah, up the Bournemouth. My own thoughts, though, because I completely agree. They've only had one winnable game this season, which is against Aston Villa, and they won it.
Won it, yeah.
Like, City, Arsenal, Liverpool, anything can happen. And you can say that they should have set up differently at Liverpool, but Liverpool were a wounded animal. I don't think the disrespect or the talking about the transfer business in the media made his position untenable. So I don't agree with those views. He's just saying that to compete in this league, because he's been in the league before, they need a few more players.
The early rumours I've seen is Sean Dyche, but I don't know if he'd go there. And then obviously the joke room has been Sam Allardyce, and he probably would go there.
Yeah.
But talking about the game, because Wolves, for me, it's 2 points dropped. They're there
big
for
time.
The taking.
Big time.
They had some chances. Jimenez had a couple of chances, didn't take them. And
Podence
really,
had one cleared off the line, and Matias Nunez was really unlucky with the half volley that he hit off the bar.
Yeah, but you need to be scoring there.
Matias Nunez was unlucky.
Yeah.
But the other
you're unlucky, but you've got to. But we keep saying that's every podcast at the moment.
No, specifically that chance, he was unlucky. The other chances, like Podence, you can argue he's unlucky as well, but they have to score.
And Jimenez,
should have scored. Jimenez should have scored. Yeah. Jimenez of 2 seasons ago would have scored. I don't really know. I know he's fractured his skull on that, but.
But that being said, it was a good point for Bournemouth.
Credit Bournemouth. We said it before that if they get a point,
keeping a clean sheet, that's one where we don't lose. I think.
It just all that negativity after the Liverpool game would arguably just be washed away with that point.
The one thing though that caught my eye when I was watching it on Match of the Day, he's left Kiefer Moore on the bench, and there was one particular highlight where they're lumping the ball into the box, and what's his name, the striker?
Dominic Solanke.
Solanke.
Yeah.
Trying to get up, so it was the guy who you want running in behind with pace, Solanke, and then you're trying to lump the ball into the box and tell him to get his head on it.
Well, I mean, he's quite a tall bloke.
But Kiefer Moore is
better in the air.
It's night and day between the pair of them about in the air. Like, look at the trouble we gave Saliba.
Yeah, well, it's just interesting because with those two tall strikers, if Sean Dyche or Sam Allardyce goes there, you know it's going to be like Brexit ball. Let's pump the ball into the box. You might enjoy that, old Brexit Steve, wouldn't you?
I couldn't stand Sam Allardyce's football. No, I liked it when Rafa Benitez said, oh yeah, Real Madrid and Barcelona are looking to sign him anytime soon. They love that style of football.
I love it.
You see, I've got the transfer deadline, as you know, going on whilst we're recording this. Bellerin's actually gone to Barcelona.
Yeah, your thoughts on that?
Strange one.
But I mean, good luck to him.
He was homesick, wasn't he? Like, if he wants to go back to Spain, then so be it.
Or he just dropped him playing at Arsenal either.
Yeah, no. But I thought he wanted to go back to Real Betis. I thought he was happier there. But fine.
Yeah, because we terminated his contract, didn't we, today? So he would have had the choice to go anywhere.
Mutual agreement.
He had been at Barcelona before we got him.
Yeah, when we signed him for the academy. Youngster.
But I don't think he's not going to start at Barca, is he?
No, probably not. But I think he's never moaned about the club, has he? So fair play, good luck to him.
Yeah, exactly that. And he was good for us up until a few seasons ago, where like the rest of the team, you could argue, just performances dropped.
Yeah, but he always tried, didn't he? Yeah. Like you could see, he was one of the ones where he looked affected as well.
Yeah,
so.
But he was up and down the pitch all game, and you had Arsenal fans that he might make a run up the pitch, didn't get the ball, we'd have to run back when we lost it, and Arsenal fans are telling him to go again. Like the bloke's probably shattered. I know he gets paid however much money he gets paid, but he's exhausted.
Arsenal fans with beer guts and cigarettes and
who would.
Get up there!
Who are trying to coach while they're up in the upper tier. The lads can't hear you, mate. I don't know what you're shouting about.
No, get round the back! Yeah. Get round the back!
It's mental. It's mental.
There's a good Lee Evans joke talking about football fans. It's about 20 years old or so. And it's like, why are we spending all this money on these foreign managers when this guy clearly knows? They should stop the game and go, no, you. Well, I thought we could go round him, put the ball in it. I don't know.
Didn't he do one about tennis as well, where tennis is like the weirdest game invented because of the
scores? It was talking about the scores, yeah. It was a baby in the high chair, guessing the scores. 15, love. 15? One. 30. Juice, someone juice.
Yeah.
Golly, that was
good.
Anyway, we digress.
West Ham, Tottenham?
Yeah, go on.
West Ham looking more like West Ham is what I took from that.
Yeah, a bit more solid.
And Tottenham playing on the counter.
West Ham were unlucky not to win.
Well, they had chances
right at the end. The one that dribbled across the goal.
Oh, with Bowen. It's just like, someone chuck yourself at it. It was so close.
Someone get on it.
Yeah.
And again, we spoke about it with the Forest one. If Spurs are going to let teams just come onto them all the time and try and get on the counter attack, I don't want to pay 60 quid to go and watch that if I'm a Spurs fan.
Well, they've put up with it for a season.
I've got players like Son and Kane and Kulusevski who look dangerous and sharp. I want to see them playing expansive football, attacking
football.
Taking
the game to teams.
Yeah. I don't want to see, sit back and then, we get them on the break and this and that. Oh, we're such a great team. You're not going to win trophies like that.
Right.
I'm sorry, you're not. Okay, maybe you'll get a League Cup or an FA Cup. They're going to do nothing in the Champions League.
No, they've got a nice group. Though, so they should
they'll get out of the group probably.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to come across as like an Arsenal fan or you hate Spurs, this and that, because I don't really, but I just, when you've got talent like Son and Kane, and it was interesting that he kept Son on this time and took off Kulusevski for Richarlison. Again, Richarlison, just, anyway.
Did you see the one, there was a shot at Fabianski and Richarlison tried like chucking himself in the way of it? It was quite funny. Yeah.
He's just a clown, isn't he? I thought the VAR made the right decision with the penalty.
I was going to ask you that because originally I thought Stonewall pen until it actually hit Cresswell's head. I can understand.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they over. Well, I'm not really surprised they overturned it. It was interesting they overturned it.
If it had just hit his hand direct, his hand was way out wide. Yeah, it'd be a penalty.
The fact that it hit his head,
didn't it? It hit his head and then went onto his hand. There's nothing he could do, and it was so close. You wouldn't want that given against you, let's put it that way.
No, you'd claim for it.
Did you see Conte's comment?
I thought he's going to get fined for that.
Maybe he might do, because he's bringing the game into disrepute a little bit. But I like the fact that then on Match of the Day, the three on the panel, including Gary Lineker,
was and
like,
Danny Murphy.
We disagree with him, actually. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. It's what VAR's there for.
Exactly that.
Lovely flick by Antonio for the goal.
Yeah. He was unlucky with the one that he hit the post in the first half. Like I said, West Ham just looking like West Ham again.
Just before that, though, this was never brought up by anyone watching the game. Paltrow?
Yeah, that was brought up by Dad and me. Dad sitting there, because it was like a bullet on the floor, yeah, wasn't it? West Ham's goal.
I've wrote down here, throw-ins don't exist anymore.
No.
I kid you not, I'm sure it was last season, I saw a throw-in where the guy lifted up his back leg.
Yeah.
And it just played on.
Yeah. Like, I don't care.
This is why Wenger's trying to get rid of throw-ins, because they can't throw the ball.
Kick-ins.
I think Spurs are riding their luck a little bit at the moment as well.
We're talking about them playing on the counter-attack, because it's effective against arguably the best teams in the league, like when they went to City last season and Liverpool.
Well, they've got City coming up soon, so it wouldn't surprise me if they snatch some points or even win it.
Yeah,
because he is good at that, Conte. Credit where credit's due.
When the impetus, like when you're playing a team that arguably has a worse side than you, the impetus should be on you to go and break them down. But then that comes back to the point of, do they have a creative player to break them down?
Well, we've said it before, haven't we? You're saying Son and Kane are world class. What players do West Ham have that are world class?
Well, nobody yet.
No,
we might have a few that turn into world class players.
No, exactly, but no one right here now.
No.
But surely, you know, one of those world class players should do something. And I don't mean Kane coming deep all the time and just playing it into space for.
But
Son,
he's the only one that has a bit of creative in that team of starting 11. He's the only one that can create something, it seems.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's interesting. We already
discussed Conte's. I called it sour grapes at the end.
Well, he was just going, we should not have VAR. We should not have VAR in this.
That's Family Guy for those that are listening. We should. Bubbly.
Yeah. It's fine, I speak Italian. Bubbly bubbly bub. We should not have VAR in this league because the officials aren't good enough to use it. Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree, but they got that one right, so.
Yeah, they did get that one right.
Yeah. Even though it was, yeah, I can understand why you'd always claim for it, but the fact that it's come off his head.
Well, yeah, but that's what VAR was there for, isn't it? You'd claim for it. But if it was the other way around, would he want it given against him?
No, he'd be moaning about it in the media.
And he'd be moaning that VAR got it wrong if it was given against him.
Exactly.
That's enough on Spurs then.
Exactly my thoughts.
West Ham, like we said, were the better team and were well-deserving of their point. And they freshened
it up with some signings.
Which they need.
Yeah.
And now we just need to gel them in and bed them in. I'm looking forward to seeing what Paqueta does.
You and me both. It's quite funny, the memes going around and, on the socials, like West Ham's midfield, and it just had rice in a packet. It's like Paqueta rice.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah,
quality.
Yeah. But they've given everyone sort of a free game head start, but they'll be fine. I think it's still top half finish for West Ham. They look really good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it all depends how Europe takes its toll on them and how they get on in the Premier League again with the newer signings.
Yeah.
Bowen still needs to come to life a little bit. He just needs to get a goal, doesn't he, really? And Scamacca needs to learn how to hit the ball a bit harder, because there was a chance. I'm not sure if it was this game or the other one where it was a little bit.
Came on in this.
Yeah. So, but he scored in the Europa Conference League qualifier, whatever it was they played. So.
And they've got a bigger squad, which means they can...
Which they need.
Because Antonio was the only
forward. How they finished what they did last season.
With just
and
Antonio.
Got to the semi-finals.
Yeah, I was playing semi-forward.
I mean, and this is what is madness. You said it already. It's absolute madness that the fans are getting on Moyes' back.
Yeah.
Right, so
it just shows you how short-term and fickle football is these days.
Yeah. Although the board seem to be a little bit more understanding, which is quite surprising with David Gold and Sullivan.
Yeah, and they've dipped into their pockets to invest in this team. A bit late, they should have done this stuff at the start of the window, but it's fine, they've done it in the end.
Done is done.
Moving on, Southampton-Chelsea.
Absolutely. There was a chance where Sterling should have squared it.
Yeah, because I always said greedy Sterling, as per usual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also liked his proper dive in the second half, I think it was.
I don't remember that one.
They said it should have been a penalty.
Oh yeah, I do remember that one. It was never a pen.
Yeah.
So
I think the commentator said it could have been given as a penalty.
Yeah, Jonathan Pearce was commentating.
That was a proper dive.
Yeah.
Knee tuck and everything.
Yeah. But I mean, I have to give credit to Southampton, because I've said before, like, I don't really know what Southampton do. And I've always been quite critical of Southampton and said, not this season, but last season before that, I thought they were going to go down. They look good. They deserved their win after riding the first 20 minutes out. I know they conceded, but they got into the game and then they're better than the team.
And they played very well against Man United as well. We were unlucky not to get a point. Yeah. So it's good. It's funny, like we said a bit earlier, you know, Shearer's like, oh, they're going to struggle, this, that and the other. And yeah, it's still early days. But taking 3 points off Chelsea at home, when we discussed it, they lost 6-0 there last season.
Well, I thought they were going to get done 3-0. That's what I predicted.
I put down a draw. I should have gone to my gut and put down a Southampton win, but there we go. Lavia took his goal quite well.
First player born in 2004 to score, just to make you feel old and make me feel old.
That's mental, that stat, isn't it? And as per usual, Chelsea look all over the place defensively.
Well, are Chelsea in crisis?
No, not yet.
Yeah,
I think they're better at home than they are from away from home. They got West Ham at the weekend, so that'll be interesting.
It's a tough game. But talking about the centre-halves, it's just signed Fofana, so I think he's probably going to come straight in there.
Yeah.
They're also signing, I mean, recording this on transfer deadline day, he's still playing Football Manager because they signed Aubameyang now. They signed Dennis Zakaria out of nowhere because they were looking at about 4 or 5 central midfielders.
There's talks of Ziyech going as well. That's the thing, they're putting all these players and then they're getting rid of them. They just don't really have a plan, do they?
Ziyech, they've been linked with Milan from the start of the window. Then that sort of fell through. Then he was linked with Ajax. And then he was starting at Southampton the other night. Yeah. Like, the guy probably doesn't want to be there because he's made it clear that he wanted to leave. And you're starting.
Is that because he's not getting game time, though?
Yeah, but still, like, if he doesn't want to be there, then don't play him.
It's not a mug. I mean, some of the goals he's scored.
Goal at Tottenham last season that he cut in and bent it.
Top bins.
Yeah.
But I don't even know, like, they're saying, like, Aubameyang's an out-and-out striker, but he's got pace. He's not like Lukaku.
No.
I mean, is he... I don't want to say, is he similar to Havertz? Because obviously Havertz is a little bit different. But what are they going to get much differently from him and Sterling up front now?
Well, I just think Aubameyang's more clinical, to be honest. Yeah. Than Sterling,
well,
I think,
when he's happy and not sulking.
Yeah.
He's missed at Everton. He'll be up for it against Arsenal, though.
Oh, of course he will. I don't think the Arsenal fans won't give him a bad reception either, to be honest. I don't think so.
Not these new Arsenal fans.
No, I mean, I don't really blame that, to be honest, because I quite like Aubameyang, and I've said it before, I think he's going to do well at Chelsea because they just need a centre forward. Yeah, he's not a big target man, but anything that falls to him in the box, he will be clinical. So, and they need that because they've missed chances this season already.
Yeah,
interesting times ahead for them though, because I do agree that they're not in crisis, but
Tuchel,
I said Tuchel was going to be sacked, and that's just because of his comments at starting pre-season.
Did I say he was going to be sacked?
No, you didn't.
Did I not?
You didn't. You went, no. Yeah, you think it's going to stay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. I believe. I have to check the graphic.
I must have been drinking that day.
It's because his comments that started in pre-season, it feels like it's carrying on, that he's just not happy with his squad. Not happy with that application.
You'll have to double check. I'm sure I thought Tuchel would be one that goes because of all the because of the new owners and all that sort of thing, but I could be wrong. I am wrong quite a lot on this podcast.
I think we both are with predictions every week, aren't we?
Yeah, well, you know what? This week, I know we'll get to the end, but this week, a lot of our predictions was only a goal out.
Yeah.
Like, which isn't... That I can live with.
But a goal out can be the difference between, like, no points and 1 point, or no point and 1 3 points.
1 point, 3 points, I mean, it's madness. Had Leicester scored a goal, you'd have had 3 points for that. Had Wolves scored a goal, you'd have got 3 points.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, had Brighton not scored a goal, I'd have got three points.
Yeah. Like, that's football though, isn't it?
Which takes us nicely into Fulham Brighton.
Yeah, because, again, not a game that I have a great deal to say on this, besides... Beautiful assist for Mitrovic's goal, wasn't it? Old Cabano, who was absolutely shooting, shanked it and went across the pitch.
You know, that's exactly what I wrote down. Cabano shot for his assist.
Yeah.
He was brilliant. Shooting. Yeah. I really liked Brighton's away kit.
I thought
it was nice, yeah.
Yeah, I know it's been slated on social media, but is it orange or red? I thought it was orange, but it looked quite red last or did it look orange?
Quite a deep dark colour. Yeah. I liked it. Another own goal for Brighton as well.
Well, do you have a donut of the week? Because I think I might have to make Lewis Dunk.
Donut of the week.
I know he was unlucky, but it was just quite funny. Own goals are usually quite comical, and that was quite comical.
You know, I'm not sure actually, because I don't write that stuff down. I sort of look at it and... Well, actually, no, I do write that stuff down if I go, oh, what a donut. But I haven't got anything in any other games, so...
Yep, there you go. You called it. I'm calling it now. Lewis Dunk.
Yeah.
Donut of the week. I just love saying that. I don't know why. It's quality.
And the penalty?
Yeah.
Happy it was a pen?
Oh, Stonewall. Yeah. He just kicked his calf. Yeah. I just started laughing when I saw it.
Yeah. I just... I put, is that a pen? Question mark. And I looked at it again and again, and I was like, yeah, it is. But the thing, because I was sort of, I was doing bits and pieces whilst watching it, and there was the commentator was like, oh yeah, there's definite contact there, so it's a penalty. And it's like, why does it have to be contact for it to be a penalty? Like, you can have contact and it not be a foul or anything like that. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can kick the ball and follow through and catch the player after when clearing your lines. Just because you then made contact with him, it's not a foul.
But there could be contact, but it can be
that one. That one was a pen.
Oh yeah, like, so you see it quite a few times throughout the season as well, don't you? When someone thinks they've got more time, goes to clear it, the opposition player gets their toe in front, and they just kick through him. But that, Stonewall.
So. Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, I have thought of a donut of the week, and it's not a player.
Who is it?
It's the Everton fan that dropped his son when trying to hug Gordon.
Yes, let's talk about that. Let's talk about Everton. We're going to make that fan.
Donut of the week.
Yeah.
If you're that fan and you somehow managed to listen to this or come across this, write in. What were you thinking?
I thought you made a good decision, to be honest. It's better to celebrate than hold your son, obviously.
Yeah, but then the steward went to pick up his son and he told the steward off.
Yeah, I love it. So I think Gordon went to pick up his son.
Gordon did pick up his son. So yeah, let's talk about that. So again, Everton have a problem of killing off games. So another goal for Gordon. I've added another 10 million to his asking price.
But to be fair, because I know we've sort of laughed at the price, and yeah, the price is still ridiculous. But I'm going to give him credit where credit is due. Yeah. Two goals in two games. Yeah. Took both of them well.
Yeah, yeah.
And unlike other players, he's just got on with all the business. I know you've mocked his celebration before, but that's meant to signify blocking out the noise. He's just got on with his business.
That is?
Yeah, he's just training every day.
He's putting his fingers in his ears as opposed to Harry Maguire scoring against Moldova.
You said I was crap. Listen to me now.
I don't know if it was Moldova he scored against, you know, but it was someone.
Gareth Southgate is still going to pick him, don't you? Even though he's not playing for United.
Of course he is. Yeah.
Yeah. Which we'll come on to in many future World Cup podcasts.
Which is why Southgate shouldn't be taking us to the World Cup.
Well, I still disagree because he deserves another tournament, but...
It's funny, I know someone who agrees with me.
Who's that?
Nathan.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, you had a conversation with him?
Very, very, very briefly, when we're at his birthday.
In terms of Southgate out?
Yeah, he said, I agree with you, I don't think Southgate should be taking England to the World Cup. It's like, fair enough.
Yeah.
But we never got to talk about it because he was his mates
and all that sort of thing.
So, but fair play to you, Nathan. I mean, you did call Richarlison R9 as well, so...
And said Harry Kane's better than Henri.
I know, but he'd had his first beer in him, so... for Leeds, the Rodrigo injury is bad.
Yeah, that was...
Out for a month.
It was unfortunate as well. It's just really innocuous because Pickford's just grabbed him and dislocated his shoulder and, yeah...
Just like when he accidentally took out Van Dijk and accidentally... Did his cruciate in
accidentally. This is why we need a camera. We're saying in inverted commas.
The ball was there to be won.
Oh, I love it.
So, Virgil, you're going to leave one on him. I'm going to leave one on you.
Don't forget, as Graham Souness said, that's assault. That is assault.
As opposed to Graham Souness, who studs people in the fight.
The ball's there.
And the ball.
I'm just going to go through you, son.
He studs people in the fight when the goalkeeper's about to kick the ball.
But Pickford on Van Dijk, nah, that's assault. I love it.
That was a great challenge. Absolutely great challenge. In actual fact, if they did tick-a-boo for a challenge, I'd do one for that.
Well, I just remember
Andy Gray definitely would, because he was former Everton.
Yeah. I just remember you saying that I quite respected Pickford for doing that, because Van Dijk did someone a few minutes before.
Yeah, he was throwing his weight around. He was lucky to stay on the pitch.
Yeah.
I remember that, because there was two of them. Apparently there was something about Everton time wasting. I like Jesse Marsh taking one out from the Alex Ferguson catalogue of pointing to your watch.
Yeah, 45
minutes per half. We're in the final third.
It descended into chaos, this podcast, I swear. Oh, I love it. I'm laughing.
But I do think, despite going ahead... It was a good point for Everton when you consider Leeds just beat Chelsea at home 3-0. I know they lost their previous games to Brighton, but that was away.
Absolute facts.
So I think good point for Everton.
And I wanted to ask you this as well. How do you rate Everton's start to the season?
It's not too bad. They still need a win. But I think we touched on it last time. Lampard looks a lot safer than Gerrard.
Well, it's interesting because they've got the same points as Aston Villa. Yeah. Only on 3 points.
Less money spent.
And they brought in some really good players as well.
Yeah.
I quite like their transfer business. But it just looks unlike Villa, it looks like Everton have a plan. I mean, they're defending, but they look a threat on the counter attack, which is why they're scoring in each game.
I mean, Gray was offside, wasn't he? Was offside,
but they also had the chance right at the end that Gordon played in Patterson, and Patterson should either have squared it or hit it further and this is the far post. It's a great chance at the
end. I've got to be honest, I've only watched it very quickly, so I can't remember all of it.
No worries. But they had a chance to win the game, is what I'm saying.
Fair enough. One of the other things as well is I didn't see any tweets from Alan Sugar about Everton's pink kit. Like, Alan, what's going on? You don't like pink kits, do you? But you don't have a problem with an Everton one.
Consistency.
Maybe it's because it's got an Everton badge and not an Arsenal badge.
Yeah.
Don't hurt your neck looking up the table. Is this the... I know it's early days, I say that tongue-in-cheek. Is this the beginning of Leeds troubles, do you think?
Who are their next fixtures?
There's always a team that starts off quite well and then has a few issues.
But you said it before, we've said it in previous podcasts, of, like you said, there's a team that starts really well and then just slides down the table. We both gave examples of Hull and you said Bolton potentially. There is another one that I completely forget.
So they've got Brentford away, Nottingham Forest at home, Man United away, Villa at home, Palace away. Arguably, the away games are going to be tough. The home game against Forest isn't always going to be easy, I don't think.
Well, Monday night, sort of quite a feisty one as well.
Yeah.
That one.
And now they've lost Rodrigo as well.
I think Bamford's coming back. But I know we both have our thoughts on Bamford, but at least they've got a forward.
I'm going to put him in a team and triple captain then, because I slate him every single time and he always scores a hat-trick whenever I slate him.
Proved us wrong in the first season. Leeds were back in the Prem.
The Villa game at home, like, we'll see if Gerrard's still there, but you'd still think that should be a win for them, really. The Forest one, you'd say, yeah, you should be maybe winning that, but they've also just signed Willy Bolly from Wolves, which is a bizarre one.
That was
mental as well.
That left back that they signed, Renan Lodi, don't get me wrong, I know he's played for Atletico Madrid in the Champions League, so he's a decent player. They already signed a left back this window, Julian Bianconi.
He wants two players in every position,
doesn't
he?
They've got a whole bloody squad.
It's so unsettled, isn't it?
Yeah, he's mental.
He's going to struggle to settle them and find his best 11.
I'd love to know if that's him making these decisions, because surely there'll come a point and say, I'm happy with the squad I've got, leave me.
Well, I mean, if he was Brendan Rodgers, he'd be happy.
Yeah, very happy.
Yeah, I've got nothing else on Leeds Everton really.
No, that's a good point for Everton and Leeds. It'll be interesting because I think their fixtures are quite nice coming up. So
I think some of those are tougher than they seem.
But they're Forest, not the worst set of fixtures in the world on paper.
Yeah,
Palace Brentford. I believe that's the final game that we have to do. Beautiful goal by Zaha, which
took the words out my mouth.
Your goal of the week. Has you changed your opinion on him at all?
No. But he is important to Palace. Yeah. He is good.
You just wish he didn't have the attitude, is what you're saying, or the attitude he sometimes shows on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I used to feel a bit sorry for him because sometimes he was fouled and he just... But did you see his post-match?
That's what I'm saying about attitude as well.
He went full on Alex Hunter, didn't he? FIFA. No, I'm going to choose fire for this one. Yeah. I don't know what we're doing. 1-0 up, just trying to see the game out. He needs to sort it out, old Patrick.
What did you think of the interview?
He was honest. Yeah, he was upset. But on the flip side, you can look at it two ways, can't you? You can look at a negative guy and, oh, well, he's having a dig at the manager, this and the other. But also, all that rumour about him going to Arsenal Chelsea, it looks like he genuinely cares about not getting the 3 points as well. No, he wants to win the game.
Exactly.
That should be seen as a massive positive.
It's nice to see him hurt. Yeah. And nice to see him care.
Well, especially the goal he scored as well. That's quality. Absolute quality. Yeah. To be honest, that was my tick-a-boo.
That was the best goal of the week, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, because I was struggling, because you're not always going to get a great goal every week. Like, you're going to see some good goals. Before that, I had it as Labia, but... The Southampton one, because that wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, no.
But... Even though Koulibaly decided to take the knee halfway through the game. Zaha's finish was different class.
It's nice because the camera was directly behind it as well, isn't it? So you could see it was in from the moment he hit it.
They had chances as well, didn't they? I've got a schlappy finish from Schlupp.
Yeah.
He just passed it back to the keeper, didn't he?
Brentford had chances as well, didn't they?
They could have nicked it at the end, couldn't they? Hit the bar, I think?
I love the commentary in that coming to that, because it was Ben Mee. So the commentator's like, oh, Brentford hit the bar. It was me. He's like, yeah, I know it was me, but technically it wasn't really you commentating, was it? It's just stupid.
It was
stupid.
Me. Yeah. Who hit the bar? Me. Who hit the bar?
That's what I mean. It's just dumb stuff.
And it was nice that it wasn't Guy Mowbray commenting on Haaland's hat-trick.
When you messaged me, I was like, please not.
Because if, if Guy Mowbray was commentating on that, he'd have probably had a stroke. depending on which one you think about.
You see, that can stay in. That was good. Yeah.
Do I mean the medicinal stroke?
Yeah. You know, we were talking last week about having posters on the wall, and I was talking about Thiago Silva.
Yeah.
It made me realise when I went home, it was like a Family Guy reference. You know Tom Tucker when he sleeps with the poster of Tom Tucker on the wall?
Yeah.
Well, Big Tom looks over Little Tom when he sleeps. Thiago Silva looks over Ben when he sleeps. Protects me. Just stupid stuff. Stupid stuff. Dear. Like I said, this podcast has descended into chaos.
That's what we like. It's almost organised chaos.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Love it. Absolutely love it.
Should we do our league tables?
Before we do that, because I asked you who's impressed you least so far last time. I asked three clubs. This time I'm just going to ask for one. Who's impressed you most so far? It can actually be a club or a player or both.
Ooh, a club or a player or both. It's tough because I know who I gave you as my manager of the month.
I'm surprised you didn't give Arteta.
I didn't want to give him the curse of the manager of the month, to be honest. That's why I didn't go for Arteta. But I think Brighton have been good. I think Fulham have been very good when you consider they had Liverpool at home.
That's my pick, Fulham.
Yeah, and again, Mitrovic was, like I said, close second for player. Yeah. But I thought Haaland, two hat-tricks in a row, the two goals at West Ham.
He did score two. He scored the penalty, didn't he?
How many did he get? So that's six, seven, eight. So, and then it must have been one at Newcastle, wasn't it?
Yeah, the one that dropped down. Yeah.
And then even where he only had seven touches, he had the assist against Bournemouth.
And that was for the first goal as well, wasn't it?
First goal, yeah, exactly. So for me, and when you consider they say, oh, sometimes it takes time to get used to the Premier League and blah, blah. I love all the memes going around, or maybe the Premier League's the real Farmers League.
Yeah.
The lion with the straw hat.
Yeah. Or, are we the farmers? That meme.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Yeah. Or it's also the comparisons between him and Darwin Nunez. It's like, those are done already. Darwin Nunez hasn't even had a chance,
done. I've got to be honest, that's like when you compare Kevin De Bruyne to Bruno Fernandes, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So, maybe a little bit controversial. Maybe Isaac will do better than Nunez as well.
I don't think that's as controversial. I know it's only one game, yeah. But when you
I'm not basing it on the game. I'm basing it on the way he took the ball.
Yeah.
Because remember the Palace game where he's kicked underneath the ball at 1-0 down.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the first half, like the ball was there to be hit, and
It's the composure of when you're in the box, realizing that you have more time than you think.
I'm not going to do my Will Ferrell joke because I've listened back and I do that so often. I do repeat the same material. I need to get some new material.
So, are you going Fulham or Brighton?
I'm going to say Brighton because they lost their central midfield and they lost their left back. And I think Potter's done brilliantly.
And it doesn't even look like they've lost him because of the recruitment.
No, no.
So, exactly that.
Even though their left back, who I'm going to call Stupido, because of that Stupido party, mate. And because I can't pronounce his name, I do apologise.
Or we might start calling him Ian.
Ian.
That's where it ends.
Do you remember, who is it? Aspilicueta.
Dave. Yeah. Aspilicueta, we will call you Dave. They even sing about him and put his name in the song, right? Just call him Aspilicueta then.
Chelsea. I liked talking of Forest. I liked when they lost to Spurs. They was all singing "Champions of Europe." You never seen that. And then of course the Spurs fans went, "Champions of Europe." You weren't even born.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
Not the first club that's sung that back to them, but it's quite funny.
But it's like the United fans tonight, I think, singing Leicester are going to get relegated. Mm. So Leicester responded, "We won the league more recently than you." Fair play.
And that's what I love about football, banter. Yeah, like, as long as it remains as banter, because some people take it seriously and go, I'm going to fight you after the game because I've had me Charlie and me alcohol. Right, so this week we only got three correct results each, meaning 3 points, but it was close with some of them.
I thought you were miles in front of me, to be honest. So.
No, three correct results each. Like I say, had Brighton not conceded a silly penalty, that'd have been a correct score, which would have put me in front, but 3 points each, you're still a point in the lead.
Top of August, we are top of the league.
See, I don't mind that. It's like with the FPL stuff. In one of my... I'm in one with some people from work, and before this round, at the weekend, at one point I was top, and I was like, I don't want to be top this soon. It's too early to be... I'd rather be chasing and be close by and get towards the end.
See, I had a different mentality because I was top for most of last season. Take me back to last season, please. But I love leading because when I was in the lead, I was like, all right, just make a few tweaks. I didn't feel like I had to change my whole team every week, which is what I'm doing now because I'm playing catch up. Yeah.
But there's always going to be players.
Hindsight is a wonderful thing, isn't it? You said before. Right. And swings
and
roundabouts.
And it is luck. I mean, I'm not being funny. I put in Bernardo Silva. He gets an assist. Martinelli in my midfield gets an assist. Odegaard didn't do anything, really.
Odegaard did nothing.
Salah gets two assists. I put in Alvarez because I thought Trippier might get a booking and
or they might concede a few. Yeah.
And Alvarez pops up with two goals and Haaland gets a hat-trick and Jesus gets a goal.
Who knew Alvarez was even going to start, to be honest? Like, with Pep Guardiola, you never know.
He's been dropping down in he's been dropping down in value as well, so maybe that will
bring his value back up. But Pep Guardiola, talking of Pep Roulette, he picks his team the way in South Park they depicted the financial crisis. Get a chicken. Who am I playing tonight?
And then from the other side, keeping the South Park theme, Steve Coo was like, we're going here for 3 points, and it's gone.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Right, match week 6 predictions. Let's go.
Do you want to go first this week?
I will go first.
Go on, you go first.
Go on, Sam. Everton-Liverpool, I have gone 1-1.
Well, okay, early kickoff.
Early kickoff, yeah.
I've gone 3-0 Liverpool.
3-0 Liverpool, you think it's going to be comfortable?
No, I don't think it's going to be comfortable.
Merseyside derbies never seem to be comfortable. Yeah. I know last season they absolutely battered them, but as Benitez. But...
And Salah needs to come up with a goal as well. He's not scored, so I'm expecting he normally scores against Everton.
Yeah, I mean, last few weeks... Well, in both the games, Everton, Brentford, Leeds, Everton, I went 2-0 to the team Everton were playing. Mm. Every time I backed against them, Everton have always scored. So, you know what? I'm going to sort of back them and go 1-0 this week.
I mean, I'm not expecting to get correct scores, but I think Liverpool will win that.
Yeah.
So,
it was just interesting, though, that you thought Newcastle would turn Liverpool over and now you're going Liverpool will turn Everton over. I know, complete difference in quality, but...
Yeah, well, it's because it's the Merseyside derby as well. But Everton haven't won, beat Liverpool at home for a while, have they? So,
and Everton, like we said, they haven't won this season.
There's never a better time to do it.
No.
Is there? Let's be honest, there's never a better time at the moment.
That would really kick-start the season. Yeah. Your turmoil.
Lunchtime game. Yeah. Don't put that in your Ekkers.
Last time it was a lunchtime game, Van Dijk got done by Pickford.
Pickford's eyeing him up. Yeah, don't put that in your Ekkers. Remember, Ray Winston went from bet in play, nah, to... I gamble responsibly. When the fun stops, stop.
Brentford Leeds. I've gone 2-1 Brentford for this one.
I've gone 2-0 Brentford.
2-0 Brentford. You cannot be serious. Don't you think they're going to score at all?
No, even if Bamford does come back, he's so injury prone at the moment. So he'll probably get a hat-trick and they'll beat him 3-0. But Brentford's home form is key for them. I thought, like you say, they could have nicked it against Palace. They look okay in terms of even when they are conceding goals.
The amount of chances they create each game. And that was the worry for me coming into the season, losing Eriksen. But so far, the goals will come.
But they need to start putting them more away.
Of course.
A bit in a similar vein to sort of Everton and Wolves, isn't it? Where they only score the one goal, or in Wolves' case, the none goals.
Yeah. Well, then that United game, I guess, was in an aberration that they scored four.
Well, I mean...
Or United were so open anyway.
I mean, like our friends on the Arsenal show said, De Gea threw the ball into the net for the first one, didn't he? I think Brentford would have too much for Leeds. I think Leeds is about home form, and this will be one that they'd like to get a draw. I mean, did they have 10 players and beat them at the end of the last season?
They had to win. Well, they didn't... No, they had to better Burnley's result, I think.
If they won, they guaranteed it. But so, I think it didn't matter that they won.
Because Burnley lost at Newcastle, home to Newcastle, yeah.
So,
but that, of course, they only had 10 players.
Yeah.
10 players.
And that was Rafinha as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Rodrigo sort of picked up where he left off a little bit. But
which like Rodrigo
Aronson...
He's more creative, I think, than he's going
to... I know he made me laugh in the Everton game. Did you see him trying to G the fans up? I think, I'm not sure if it was 0-1 or 1-1.
Yeah.
But a ball went out for a corner or something. And he's going, raising his arms like, come on, come on. He was doing the Basuma at Chelsea.
Have you ever seen the American chant, fight and win? You've seen that chant?
Yeah,
in America? Yeah, that's what he was
I've
doing.
I've seen all those. They're awful.
Chelsea West Ham, 2-2 for me.
Chelsea West Ham. Sorry, I've got that further down because when I did this, Chelsea West Ham was still shown as a Sky game, and at one point it was shown as being live at 3 o'clock on Sky somehow. So anyway, Chelsea West Ham. I've gone 1-1.
1-1. So we've both gone for a draw. Yeah. I did originally have 1-1, but I just think it'll be interesting to see if Aubameyang starts. Actually, Chelsea need a sort of reaction.
yeah.
after getting them, done though, by Southampton.
I mean, I have said that they can't score goals, but they can't seem to defend either.
No, which is surprising because yeah. rate Thiago Silva, Koulibaly. Yeah.
Is he in his 30s already?
Koulibaly is, yeah.
Yeah, he was Napoli, wasn't he?
Yeah, before. He's pretty good in Napoli.
Because he was linked with Man United a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he's been linked with Chelsea before. And yeah, he was good at, but Napoli seemed happy to let him go. And when you come to the Premier League, when you're already 30, it can be a little bit difficult. I mean, Thiago Silva is obviously a difference from that. But
yeah, but Thiago Silva is just a different class. Yeah. I just wish he'd come to the Premier League a bit sooner. Not that his quality is... Not that he hasn't got the quality to play in the Premier League now, but yeah. And also Serie A, going back to Koulibaly, a bit of a slower league, so it probably suited him. He might just be struggling with the pace a little
bit. Again, it might be 6 months down the line and he's okay.
Yeah, yeah. Just always that adjustment period. I think Fofana will start as well. They'll play those three centre-halves. So.
Yeah,
so we've gone draws. Newcastle, Crystal Palace. I have gone 2-1 Newcastle.
I've gone 2-1 Newcastle.
Both 2-1. I think this will be a really good game, tight game, because I rate both sides quite a lot. A lot of respect for both sides as well.
Yeah, I think Newcastle think it's a home game. They need to win. Be interesting to see Isaac on his home debut.
I don't see many teams beating Newcastle at Newcastle.
I think Eddie Howe's going to try and make Newcastle a fortress. Just quickly with Everton, it was madness that Malpo couldn't play because of the bank holiday. How ridiculous is that?
I know, because Lampard's saying it needed 4 working days or something, and they had 4 days in between, but because they weren't working days, it's like, come on, man. I mean, if they go down and by a point or something...
Yeah, no, I think what he's working towards, they may not be in the relegation battle that we thought they would be in.
No, they just need to start turning those draws into wins.
Because like I say, the away points... So the away point at Brentford was a good away point, and... Even the away point at Leeds is a good away point, even though they took the lead in both those games.
Yeah, and we're talking about like if putting both of those, all three of those teams were in that little mini league that we put at the start of the season. And the only one that can't win, don't lose.
Yeah, the only one that was disappointing, as far as I'm concerned, was the Forest at home.
Yeah, of course. Which is a game that
Forest scoring the first goal.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, 2-1 as well. Be interesting. It should be a good game. We hope.
Yeah, Forest Bournemouth, talking of Forest, I've gone 2-0 for this one. 2-0 Forest.
Have you really?
Yeah, you've gone 2-0.
I've gone 2-0 Forest.
I did have it 1-0, I just changed it to 2-0, but I'm going to stick with 2-0 just because, yeah. I mean, last time these two sides met, Bournemouth beat Forest, it was at the Vitality, and that was what got them promoted in the Championship, but...
That was only 1-0, wasn't it?
That was only 1-0. Yeah. A lot has changed.
But Forest has had a turnover of 450 players since then.
He's got like, who am I picking this week? I've got... 7 centre-backs to choose from. You could probably field a whole team of centre-backs, to be honest, isn't it?
We say Ted Bowie's playing Football Manager, but the owner of Forest has definitely got clubs elsewhere and just going, yeah, we'll swap him with him. Yeah. do you remember doing that when you'd manage Man United, Chelsea, Arsenal, all the top teams, and just give all the best players to the team you supported?
You know. I mean, he's
child.
The owner of Olympiacos as well, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
Yeah, the Greek guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tottenham, Fulham?
I've gone for Fulham 2-1.
You've gone Fulham 2-1 because I've gone 2-1 Tottenham. Mm. But I think this is a lot of closer game than people might think. Because Mitrovic will cause them problems.
Mitrovic will cause them problems. And I just feel Leno's such a step up compared to Rodak, who, don't get me wrong, not the worst keeper in the world, but Leno's different class. And I think Fulham have shown they're real tough. I mean, it will be difficult because it's away from home, but it'll be interesting to see if Spurs continue to try and be the counter-attacking team against Fulham.
Oh, yeah, because Fulham will just, like they did against us, Fulham will just sit in deep and knock out to Mitrovic, and it will stick because Mitrovic is a handful to play.
Well, Dyer's going to have his hands well and truly full that one.
Of course, yeah, and with the other two centre-halves.
And I don't think he'll be able to handle him personally.
No, because, well, better quality centre-halves, with all due respect to Eric Dyer, because he's had a good season so far, but better quality centre-halves haven't been able to handle Mitrovic. Virgil van Dijk, if you want to say, is the benchmark for Premier League centre-backs, couldn't handle Mitrovic. Yeah. So... it will also be interesting because Tottenham weren't great against Wolves, were they, last time out at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium?
No, they weren't. It was strange.
I know they battered Southampton, but...
Yeah, they did. But it's... Well, and there was that great own goal, wasn't it? Take a touch.
Yeah. Nobody behind me, but I'm still going to crack myself. Yeah.
Mum, I'm on TV. Oh.
Yeah.
So that'd be interesting. So yeah, because obviously, like I say, there's always going to be some sort of upset somewhere, and I know we've already gone for one maybe with Chelsea, West Ham. This is another potential one, but I don't. Yeah, I've got to be honest. This round of fixtures, I was really struggled. I did it earlier. I've really struggled to predict, do my predictions this week.
Because it just, there could be like draws, besides the City game, which we'll come to, but it could be like, it's so tight every single game.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be that high scoring, but then you'll always get one or two that are just freak results.
Yeah, yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah.
It's, and sometimes you just can't predict that. Or if you do, then you've definitely got a DeLorean at home somewhere.
Yeah. Wolves, Southampton.
As well as I've done recently, I've gone 1-0 Wolves.
I was so close to putting that, but because I thought Southampton would get battered last time and they proved me completely wrong, I've gone 1-0 to give a bit of credit to Southampton.
Fair enough.
It's so tight though, because I was so close to putting 1-0 Wolves. It's like, I don't know which way to go.
I'm doing that thing where it's away and they've just had a good result against Chelsea. Yeah. So
that's a theme for you this season, isn't it? Like, they got up for the Chelsea game, but...
But it has happened. You do see it.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, obviously, if this was 1-0 Wolves, if it was 1-0, it was 1-0 Southampton.
Yeah. Probably 0-0 again.
Yeah. No, Wolves. Villa, Man City.
So I've gone 1-0 Villa.
You're funny, you are. How many goals is Haaland going to score? This should be the question.
No, he'll be on the bench. He'll be Alvarez.
Yeah.
I've gone 4-0 City.
4-0 City.
Because as we've discussed, Villa are so flat. They look like they don't have any idea whatsoever. Martinez, even though he can stop the hard shots, the ones that he can catch, he palms into the
net. Bit of help to Arsenal here. I still play for Arsenal.
Yeah, well, actually, well, they're actually investigating Arsenal because we've now played Martinez and Leno and we've both got a couple of good goals against the both of them. Yeah, so
love it. I've gone 3-0 City, the return to the game.
Fair enough.
How many will City score?
It's funny. Do you know what? You always go one lower than me.
Yeah, with City. You know Forrest, that you were close to predicting it?
Yeah.
James got it. He said 6-0.
Did he?
Yeah, it's mental.
Amazing. Because I didn't think Forrest would be that bad, if that makes sense. I didn't think they'd concede that many, because Bournemouth went there and only conceded 4.
Yeah.
And I thought, Forrest are a little bit more... Steve Cooper, with all due respect to Scott Parker, is...
And Forrest just looked more solid, didn't they?
Because Steve Cooper won the World Cup with the under-17s.
That's
several years ago now.
That was when we were going to see the Joshua fight, wasn't it? That was when Phil Foden was in the
squad. Yeah, Foden,
Mate the Niles. They beat Spain in the final. Yeah, yeah.
All those players.
Yeah.
So I
didn't actually realise that.
Yeah.
Brighton, Leicester.
I really couldn't call this, even though Leicester, you say, were bad tonight. Brighton struggle. I've gone 1-1.
1-0. Ooh. I was tempted to go 1-0 Brighton, but I went with 2-0 Brighton because I watched Leicester tonight. You're only as good as your last game.
Yeah.
Leicester were poor. They were just, was not impressed by them at all.
Fair enough.
And even though Brighton got turned over by Fulham, they've had a good start to the season.
Yeah, so. But this is part of my reasoning is they've now lost that first game. How do they bounce back? How do they respond? Well, just don't lose would be the next one. And Leicester, as much as we said, like they were playing well, like they played poorly against United, but it all depends what goes on with Rodgers as well. But I just think they need to get points on the board away from home. I really can't call that. So I've gone 1-1. I've gone down the middle.
No, fair enough. I don't blame you for that one. Finally, we come to the big game of this weekend. Manchester United.
Arsenal. It's only live once.
It's only live once.
Oh, indeed. Hang on a minute. No, every weekend. Every season. But are you sure?
That specific game, though, that they're talking about is only live once. Manchester United Arsenal this weekend of this season. Is that technically it's live twice because we're playing at the Emirates.
That's what I mean. Whoever's come up with that marketing needs to be sacked, don't they? Yeah. It's only live. Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds good. Only live once. Yeah. Only this exhilarating once. Only this inspiring once.
Do you watch games? If you say you've recorded a game,
yeah.
Would you watch it back, or can you only watch games live?
No, I can only watch games live.
Yeah, likewise. I mean, you watch highlights, obviously. Like, match of the day.
Do you mean can
no,
I?
No, but I mean, if say if you're working and you can't watch the game live. But you'll put it on record. Would you then go and watch it back without knowing the result?
No.
No, it's not the same,
I need to know the result. Do you know what? It is interesting watching Match of the Day like that. I've watched Match of the Day like that once, I believe.
But where you don't know...
Where you don't know any of the scores at all.
Yeah.
And it is... one weekend try it is. Because you're like... Because every chance like... Oh!
Yeah. Well, you don't know what's going to happen, isn't it? But I can't... Because I need to know the score. Like at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon... I'm not doing anything. I want to be there to know.
At 3:03, I'm looking at my phone going, oh, 0-0. Fucking boring.
Exactly.
My 6 is done.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Or when it's 6 minutes in and Liverpool are 2-0 up against Bournemouth. Fuck this. My prediction's gone already.
Haaland hasn't got a goal. Yeah. He's 60 seconds in.
Yeah, exactly.
FPL's done again.
Yeah.
I'm out. You notice Sky Sports News now have actually started showing the FPL stuff and getting involved.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going. I wonder where that's going.
It's because it's massive now. FPL every year get more and more players. Yeah. So.
Go on, because we've sort of managed to reverse where I'm going to first. You go Man United, Arsenal.
I've gone 1-1, and that's because Arsenal... I say this, I actually sort of somewhat fearful for this game, and that's only because we haven't been clinical in previous games, and United just look a bit more solid. Your thoughts?
I completely agree with you. I've gone 1-1.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And I'd be happy with a point.
I really can't call it. United in recent seasons have been there for the taking, and we haven't taken them. Like, we lost away to them last season.
That game made me so angry.
You're still angry about it.
Yeah.
They're a lot more solid defensively. They will try to get us on the counter. They're going to be a sterner test than Villa. I'd be interested to see Lokonga play. Odegaard apparently picked up a knock against Villa.
I think his ankle had to come off early.
So he's about, according to the FPL app, 75% chance of playing. Yeah. Now they work that out anyway.
It's that, chicken again, isn't it?
60% of the time, it works. Yeah. Every time. So as much as I'd love to see us go there and win, we're due to drop points at some point. If we go there and take a point from Old Trafford, considering they've had 3 wins on the spin, I think they'd be happy with a point. We'd probably be happy with a point. We're not going to win every single game.
No.
And we're due to drop points soon. And I'd rather it be a draw away at Old Trafford than a loss. I don't want to touch wood here. We shouldn't be going and losing to them, but it would be... Do you know what? It's Arteta's first big test this season, isn't it?
Yeah, and I remember you saying last season, every time Arteta had a test, he failed.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those that right now... I'd be more inclined to say United will beat us. I hate saying that United will beat us, then we beat them. So right now, I'd take a point.
Yeah.
That could change in the game if we play them off the park, because we have the capacity to play them off the park. But.
I mean, it'd be interesting. If Zinchenko's back, I think that's amazing for us.
Zinchenko needs to start. Because in previous years, I mean, I do love Tierney, but there's a drop-off in quality. Tierney is nowhere near as good as Zinchenko, at least on the ball anyway. So,
but then maybe Zinchenko pushes up into the midfield and Tierney stays left-back as well.
Well, that's a good point, because we are missing midfielders. Yeah. As we discussed, Partey's not going to be fit. El Nini's out for however long.
Yeah, and Jesus will still be throwing himself around. And I think Jesus against Martinez and Varane will be a good matchup.
Yeah, you and me both. Hopefully Odegaard's fit, as we said before.
Yeah, Zaka, well, he's the heartbeat.
Hey, there are battles all over the pitch, to be honest, isn't it? I can't wait. Hate United. Yeah. Before we end, though, because I know I said in the introductory segment that I was going to ask you a question, just a random football question.
Yeah.
I should have actually made this the question. What is your favourite Manchester United Arsenal memory?
My favourite Manchester United Arsenal memory? Do I have to have a favourite, or can I give you a select couple?
Give me a select.
Okay. So there's winning the league at Old Trafford in the goal kit.
I thought you were going to say that.
And it's through to Lundberg. Barthez pushes it out. Wiltord!
That was Martin Tyler, wasn't it? That commentary. Wiltord, I believe.
Yeah, I don't care about Martin Tyler.
No, I know, but
that's when he used to be good.
Yeah.
And then Wiltord runs over to where the Arsenal fans are, just puts his fist up in the air, and Kanu casually just jumps over.
Yeah.
He's mental.
Kanu's bell end. Screams Wiltord's knuckles. Yeah.
Probably have to edit that out.
No, it's fine. I can stay
in. That one, and then you'll probably laugh at this, but the Arsenal reaction at the end of the 0-0 after Forlan dive for the penalty, where Martin Keown jumps right up in the air, and as he lands, his forearm just brushes the back of Van Nistelrooy's head.
What do you make of some of the criticism that's received, especially in recent years, saying that Arsenal, well, at the time as well, because a lot of Arsenal players got fined, saying it was over the top.
They were saying, like, Henry's going to be banned for 10 games, Arsenal season. I remember it. I was, Matty, I was...
Yeah.
I think was listening to it on the radio or something. We was going to go out and play footy because I was like, love the yellow away kit, wasn't
that
was it?
Beautiful that.
And they was like, oh, Arsenal season's done. They're getting fined and banned. And I was just like, well, both participated. Like Van Nistelrooy set it off. Really, it was poor refereeing. Yeah. Even the penalty was never a pen.
No.
But there you go. But made me laugh because, again, the unbeaten season, a little bit of luck you needed. But Lehman was like, oh yes, I always do this on Sid Lane, and it worked. And I was thinking, you got lucky.
Oh yeah, because he went the wrong way, and
he did go the wrong way,
stuck
high
into the opposite corner.
So but it takes two to tango, doesn't it? And I think the Arsenal players were incensed about Van Nistelrooy's play acting.
Damn right.
Absolutely.
I'm not getting any refereeing decisions.
What was really funny was, I think it was Phil Neville went up against Lauren. And I could be wrong, but I'm sure it's David Seaman. I was questioning him about it. He was like, I wouldn't go up against Lauren. He's like, I would not go up against that man.
Well, he knew him, didn't he?
Yeah. So, he's like, he's like, he is hard as a coffin nail. He's a brave man whoever goes up against him.
I love it.
Any others? We're talking Premier League, aren't we?
Oh, it can be any memory.
So, mugging them off in the FA Cup, where they absolutely battered us, and Vieira sticks in the pen, top bins, because we'd lost to them
4-2 at Highbury. At Highbury.
Because that
season they ended our unbeaten run as well, wasn't it? That was 2004-05 at 2004.
Yeah, where Rooney died for the penalty. Yeah. And that, again, I don't want to talk about that because that will make this podcast last for another hour.
Yeah.
But we lost that game in the tunnel. I've said it before, where Vieira got into Gary Neville's face, didn't he?
That was the 4-2 at home.
That was 4-2 at home, I mean. Yeah. You're not a nice man. Yeah. I'll see you out there.
He
won the game, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, Vieira lost the game in that tunnel.
Yeah.
That was a good one, mugging him off. And then you could say that Vieira had the final word, like, within...
The celebration, and
then the only other one would be on Reece Flick and goal against Barthez at home, Highbury.
Yeah.
I think we did the double that season. Oh, actually,
we said the other week.
The one we did the double win. Sorry, was where we beat them 3-0 at home, where Barthez gave the ball out, Lundberg did the chip. We didn't win the double that season. I'm wrong.
That must have been the season before that Omri did that flick.
It might have been
a season or two.
That was a quality goal to beat them. But those matches against United, proper rivalry, not like the sort of rivalry they say now. Well, what about you though? What's your memories?
Because it's interesting. So the only one. Because it's too young. The only one of those that I remember is the FA Cup final. So I'd probably say that is my favourite memory, because thereafter, United always had the measure of us. That's why they kept winning leagues and we dropped off.
Eight to be an Arsenal fan.
Yeah. And we had some bad ones.
We had some dross, didn't we? Absolute dross.
Besides that, Omri's winner.
Was that the header?
His header.
I remember that.
The length of the pitch. But the first one that always comes into my head is the FA Cup final, because it actually meant... The trophy was on the line,
and we didn't even have a parade that year because we didn't deem the FA Cup that worthy.
Yeah,
but we absolutely mugged them off. We had the one where we cleared it off the line. I think Lundberg headed it onto the bar and out.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because even I was only.
They played us off the park, and we came away with the trophy.
Well, I was only 2005, so I would have only been 6, I believe.
7, maybe.
Well, I would have been seven that year. But I remember going into school and there was this girl who was a United fan who was like, well upset about it. It's like, well, you lost.
It's funny because I used to do 6-a-side or 5-a-side at Tooting and Mitcham before they changed it. And there was no walls, so it was pitches, no walls. So it was like kick-ons, like what Monsieur Wenger wants now. And one of the refs, he was a United fan. And he's, because obviously I always used to wear my Arsenal shirts down there when playing. And he's like, oh, what did you make of the game then? Like, expecting me to go, yeah, we were. I said, you absolutely battered us. I went, but you didn't score, did you?
Yeah.
He went, oh, fair play.
Yeah.
So,
well, you can see a game rationally. And
well, but that's,
we won.
That's the thing, isn't it? Some fans will turn around and go, oh, we was the better team when you weren't. And that's the problem, where fans are fickle, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, and we got all fans are like it. What's a Stonewall penalty in one box is never a penalty in another.
I know, yeah.
But you need to be, sometimes you need to be a little bit nuanced. But
it's also funny how like football has a weird way. What goes around comes around. So I know it wasn't United in 01-02. Not 01-02, sorry. When did we lose to Liverpool?
2000-2001.
Yeah.
Yeah, because 01-02 we did the double.
Yeah, exactly. So 2000-2001 when we absolutely battered Liverpool.
Yeah.
But specifically United. So.
But no one was crying about that, were they?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Right. Again, with the media narrative, we haven't touched on it yet. The old celebration police.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, did you see, was it you that took the fireworks to Arsenal? Did you see someone that actually took fireworks and set them off after we won?
No, I didn't see that.
Whether it's a fake, I don't know, but it was on social media, on Twitter, someone's taken fireworks and set them off after we won, outside the stadium, of course.
I just saw there was a banner of Richard Keyes' face that... Hey Richard, are we allowed to celebrate yet? Which was pretty
that's
good.
Quality.
Yeah.
Because who was it? Because did someone get another result against Fulham? Or no, someone got a result against Bournemouth, didn't they? And I don't know. Someone got a result somewhere, and I was like, oh, we're allowed to celebrate this because Nigel de Jong keeps jumping on it, going, oh, well done, Arsenal.
Yeah, I love it. It's just a bit of banter, isn't it? But it's, as Richard said when he made those comments about the female linesman in one of the interviews he did after, it was just banter. So
have you seen the video of before like a Champions League game where you got Jamie Redknapp in there and he's like, "Oh, you're smashing
that
it."
That was so awkward.
Oh, because cringy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think Ruud Gullit was there and he just kicked Richard Keys's leg at some point in that. He's like, "Please stop, Richard," because it's so awkward. Yeah. Especially when he's like 20 years older than those that he's with. Like,
oh, I'm pleased they're not on. When they first got sacked, I was like, "Oh," but I'm pleased they're not on either of them. Like, just
no. And you thought, would M&F ever be the same? And I know you don't particularly like him right now, but Gary Neville has been pretty good on M&F over the years.
It's not. I just think before you knew he was United, obviously through and through, and he seemed to speak balanced.
Yeah, because I'd still argue that he's balanced. Sorry to interrupt, but I'd still argue that he's balanced, but he's not. He's never been that positive towards Arsenal. Put it that way.
No, but I think some of the stuff he comes out with these days, like. He seems like he's got a bias or an agenda. Like he, for some reason, he's heavily a fan of Spurs. We know he's United through and through. That's fine. And I just some of the stuff he comes out of, I don't really get. I think, like I said, I think there's a little bit of an undertone there. But because when he first came, I really liked him. Like, I still don't mind some of the stuff he says. But even with United now, though, when he talks about United, I don't think it's from a perspective of. Oh, let's try and keep it a little bit balanced and see it from both sides. Because you've had the whole, oh, Mourinho wasn't good enough. Then it was, oh, we're not going to let these players do that to Solskjaer.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, actually, it's the board and blah, blah,
it's
blah.
How
blah,
the agenda's like, changed depending on who's in charge, really.
Or when I got smashed by Brentford, who was saying it's all the board.
Yeah.
This season before, when Arsenal was 2-0, a depleted team because of COVID, it was like, oh, I don't know what the direction is
exactly,
of Arsenal.
Exactly. Right. And blaming the players as well for the application. Like.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, because Andy Gray did start with all that. Look at my TV.
Yeah, on the monitor with his little magic pen.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And that paved the way for Jamie Redknapp. Look at Joe Hart.
Yeah,
he's holding up four fingers. He wants four women in his hotel. I mean, he wants four men in the wall.
Oh, I love it.
So yeah,
he takes the banter well, Jamie Redknapp, and he stands up for himself as well. Like the argument with Gary Neville the other week.
No, look at me when I'm talking to you, Gary. Get that step and look me in the eye. Other than when he's with Roy Keane in the safety of his stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, Roy, come get me.
Tottenham are a big team. Tottenham have got a good squad. They're all internationals.
And there he's talking about Serge Reguilon coming from Real Madrid. He's now gone out on loan to Atletico
Madrid. So. Yeah. Indeedy
doody. But yeah, that was a good bit of banter to end as well.
Well, we ended this. The predictions finished about half an hour ago and we just went off on a complete and utter tangent.
Maybe we can just cut it for a new, for just some football banter or something.
Yeah, well, just talking about United. But no, that was actually really good podcast.
Are we shopping Arsenal fans? We keep talking about United.
Well, no, you say I'm a Liverpool fan, to be honest. Well,
actually, that was good. When we used to be at Highbury, it was like when Man United were there, United. After they'd say United, all the rest of the fans go, shit, United. So,
love it. Because I could extend it even further and say, what's your worst Arsenal United memory? But I think you'd say the 8-2.
Yeah, that was bad. The 4-2 was bad because I was there for that.
Yeah.
No, the worst one would be the unbeaten record.
Of course. That was absolutely robbed.
Yeah. Absolutely mugged. Lundberg going through on goal, blatantly fouled, nothing. Rooney diving. I mean, you saw Sol Campbell's reaction to Rooney dive.
Yeah. And then kicking the absolute crap out of Reyes. Out of everyone, but Reyes specifically,
So, but
that's where the win it or cost thing is like.
Yeah, but you've got to take
it a bit too far.
Yeah, but you've got to find a way to come around that. So if they're going to go hard into you, next time they're on the ball, you go hard into them then.
Yeah.
Which, that was the difference between Wenger and Ferguson, wasn't it? Wenger, to his credit, wanted to play in the beautiful way.
Yeah.
But then other managers like Sam Allardyce and that sort of thing, Tony Pulis at Stoke, then got into this mantra of, we can just kick him off the park.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, that was when we had weaker sides, though, wasn't it? Weaker mentality.
Yeah, I mean, Vieira had never taken any of that.
No.
Neither would Tony Adams.
Or Sol Campbell, or whoever else.
So I tell you that story I heard about Tony Adams when I did my coaching course.
No?
So, apparently, Robert Pirès, when his first... was talking about the mentality of the game. So, Robert Pirès, his first appearance for Arsenal in the first half, he was absolutely rubbish, apparently. So when they all go in at half time, apparently Adams pins him against the wall, rips the badge off the Arsenal shirt, and goes, "You don't deserve to wear that."
Jesus.
And because we're talking about the mentality side of things, going, "Oh, what do you do?" Go, "Don't worry, Robert, we'll get you a new shirt." Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's just what someone the coaching course told me, who used to be a coach at Arsenal, how much truth there is into it. You don't know how much has been sort of exaggerated, or was it just an example to show you about the mentality of the game? But it wouldn't surprise me.
No, not at all. So, yeah.
But now he does the old Macarena. He's on Strictly, isn't he?
Of course. It's going to be interesting to actually watch him on Strictly, because no doubt that will be on the TV at some point.
You know what the first tune is to be played, don't you, when he's dancing?
What's that? If they don't play that while he's on there,
they would miss a trick if they don't.
Yeah, of course, of course. And you just have some Arsenal fans that might permeate the audience, and when it goes, Saliba, right at the end. But on that note, let's call it a day there. Thank you very much for listening. As ever, please get involved on the socials. You can comment all of your predictions, because you can laugh at us for when we get it wrong, because we always do. You can also vote in our Instagram story. They always go out on the day of the match day or the day before.
Can you only put the two options on there?
No, I can put the three. I just need to redesign the graphic. I can put a draw as well, and I will be changing that at some point. I just need to redesign the graphic. But please get involved, and thank you very much for listening. To do the pointless exit, it's a goodbye from Stephen.
It's a goodbye.
And it's a goodbye from me. Goodbye. Thank you for listening.
Take care.